Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. Russian hackers are believed to be responsible for breaches of U.S. government computer networks, including those at the Treasury and Commerce Departments. As NPR's Greg Myrie reports, U.S. cybersecurity officials say they're now trying to determine the full extent of the damage.
Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service is seen as the likely culprit for the hack that's apparently been ongoing for months, but was only recently uncovered by U.S. authorities, according to media reports. Cybersecurity officials at the Department of Homeland Security said, quote, "We have been working closely with our agency partners regarding recently discovered activity on government networks." The email systems at the Treasury and Commerce Departments were breached, according to the reports. The investigation is now checking on other government agencies to see if they were also victimized. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
A top White House advisor says 100 million people in the U.S. could be vaccinated against the coronavirus by the end of March. NPR's Joel Rose reports the first doses are now being shipped to hospitals around the country.
Workers at a Pfizer warehouse in Michigan applaud as the first batches of COVID-19 vaccine are loaded onto trucks. The first people expected to get the shots will be medical workers and nursing home residents. Dr. Moncef Slaoui is the chief advisor to Operation Warp Speed, the U.S. vaccine distribution effort. He told Fox News that the U.S. expects to immunize 100 million people by the first quarter of next year.
It is critical that most of the American people decide and accept to take the vaccine. We are very concerned by the hesitancy that we see, the level of hesitancy that we see.
A level of hesitancy that Slaoui says is not based on facts. Joel Rose, NPR News.
Facing a surge of COVID-19 cases, hospitals in California's San Joaquin Valley are now facing a dangerously low number of available intensive care beds. From member station KQED, Alex Hall reports.
State health data show California's 12-county San Joaquin Valley region is now at 0% ICU bed availability, the lowest of any region in the state. Local health officials in Fresno County said Friday they plan to reactivate an alternative care site in the area to help relieve overwhelmed and understaffed local hospitals struggling to meet the demand. The lack of ICU beds has triggered a state-mandated stay-at-home order in the region that is expected to last through at least the next 2 weeks. For NPR News, I'm Alex Hall.
A man started firing two semi-automatic handguns on the steps of a Manhattan cathedral today at the conclusion of a choir performance. He was shot by police and later died of his injuries. No one else was hurt. This is NPR News. Hundreds of Nigerian students are still missing after gunmen attacked their school in the northwestern part of the country Friday night. Officials say a large band of bandits with AK-47s attacked the all-boys school. Several groups are active in northwestern Nigeria and often kidnap people to hold them for ransom. The European Union and the United Kingdom had given themselves until today to agree on a post-Brexit trade relationship. They missed the deadline, but they've decided to keep trying. Terry Schultz reports.
Neither side says there's been a breakthrough on a Brexit deal, but they're avoiding a breakdown for now. In the joint decision to continue, EU Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen says her talks with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson were constructive and useful.
We both think it is responsible at this point in time to go the extra mile.
Johnson says, quote, "It's great if von der Leyen is optimistic, but he emphasizes the gaps remain wide and that the UK doesn't need an agreement."
The UK can't be locked into the EU's regulatory orbit. Whatever happens, the UK will do very, very well.
Negotiators must succeed not just in getting a deal, but one which passes parliaments on both sides by December 31st. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Multiple news outlets are reporting the owners of the Cleveland Indians baseball team have decided to change the name after years of protests by Native American groups and others who say the name is racist and insensitive. The decision, first reported by the New York Times, could be announced as soon as this week. It's not clear if a new name has been selected. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.